Hello and welcome to another report from the camp of the campaign in favour of a yes vote on May the 22nd in Ireland. On May the 22nd in Ireland there will be a referendum of all citizens eligible to vote, and I'm with the director of the local campaign in Cork, Ken Curtin. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Paul.
Ken, look, what I want to ask you as a campaign director, and we're really 57 days out from the vote, and you're a director of the campaign. Techie is at its most strategic, the big picture. Would I be right in thinking that the first phase in getting a campaign going is to cement your own followers into a strong, cohesive force, and then go on from that to practice the most convincing, reliable arguments in favour of a yes? Would they be the two things that you'd be doing this far out from the actual vote?
Yeah, you're fairly bang on there, Paul. 2 months ago, approximately, our focus very much at the moment is getting our ducks in a row. By that I mean getting our volunteers in place. We have a very good team. We've over 100 at this stage volunteers signed up. And it's about getting those, training them up, giving them the necessary skills to do canvassing and social media and other bits and pieces that they're doing for us, and putting them out into the field. We've already started our evening canvasses, and we've had two daytime canvasses. And then in terms of, you're dead right, we're also, I suppose our message is a simple one, but we're also very interested in what people are having to say, and in terms of actually making sure we have the best possible and most accurate responses for people when they have queries.
Do you know, I'd completely forgotten about the idea that people would need training. So there'll be quite a few volunteers who will never have gone canvassing before, never have done social media on behalf of a campaign. Would that be right?
That's very true. And even some of the people, what I love about this campaign coming from the political world is the vast, vast majority of the volunteers are people that have never canvassed before, because they're people that really care about this issue, but party politics and that kind of thing was never their scene.
Right, because this goes right across all parties, and as far as I know, every single political party in Ireland is in favour of a yes vote, is that right?
Absolutely, from the largest, the Fianna Fáil, the Fine Gael, the Labour, Sinn Féin, are in support, to even the smaller groups like the Anti-Austerity Alliance, Socialist Party, even the Greens have taken an active role in the campaign. And actually, in that context, I should say a thanks to the Greens and UCC, who ran a fundraising table quiz for us last night, because that's obviously the other thing that has to go on in the background. Campaigns cost money, so anybody that's doing fundraising for us is a huge help, because every euro makes a difference. Like, for example, 1 euro equals 4 badges.
Oh, right.
And the badges are very popular, so every single thing costs money.
I heard the badges were in short supply.
Oh, they are like, there's an old phrase that we used where I come from, hen's teeth. Badges are like hen's teeth. So we're hoping to get some more from our headquarters in Dublin. And it all going according to plan, we'll hopefully have some, we'll be manufacturing some here as well locally in the Cork office that we can have both for distribution and possibly for sale as a fundraiser as well.
Now, I heard you mention a place called UCC, and there'll be people listening to this who might know that that's University College Cork. Let me ask you, though, in the campaign, is this a student campaign in favour of a yes vote, or is there much wider support than that?
I will tell you, I was on a canvas Saturday morning, and there was a lady came up to us when we were canvassing, 86 years of age. Our initial reaction, look at her and things, you could have actually judged the book by its cover and got it all wrong. She came over to us and says that she's delighted to see us out canvassing, but she's been fighting for equality all her life. She used the phrase, she was a feminist when the word feminist didn't exist. So for her, this is going to be a historic vote. And there was one little thing, there's a lot of people have seen pictures of that lady, but what you can make out in the picture, she's little rainbow earrings in, and she's deliberately wearing them between now and the 22nd of May. So if anybody asks her what are they about, she can remind them what they should be doing on the 22nd and voting yes.
All right. Now look, this is, in my language, this is the phase of early skirmishes between the yes and the no side. And I heard a radio skirmish between some people yesterday. in which one of the opposition side, the no side, got his knickers in the twist over something to do with a driving instructor and whether people who were driving instructors should be exempted from giving driving instructions to people who were in favour of gay marriage. Now, look, if this is early skirmishes, will both sides in the campaign try certain arguments which will fall a cropper with the voters?
Well, I'm not going to advise the no camp on how they should be running their campaign, but those of us on the yes side are, in as far as we possibly can, are trying to remain positive, trying to stick to the facts and trying to focus on the simplicity of what this is about. It's about civil marriage and extending civil marriage rights to all citizens. It has nothing to do with religious marriage or religious rights. The debate you're referring to was over what's being very euphemistically called a conscience clause, where in effect what's being proposed is something akin to a discrimination clause, where that certain parties on religious grounds would have the right to refuse a service to somebody because they feel it's followed their religion. But as in the debate you refer to, as Matt Cooper well and truly nailed the person that was on the opposition side by pointing out, some religions, like for example, might have an objection to women driving cars. And like, would you say that those people that are of that religion should have grounds to have that exemption? Now, the reality is, and the danger is, if you brought in a clause like that, a conscience clause like that, it would open the door to discrimination. It's the reason that Bishop Martin, who was the first to say it, has backtracked a bit. It's a no-go, because if you allow discrimination on one grounds, you open up to others. It's not that long ago there were signs up in every second shop in England, no blacks, no paddies. And this is a variation on that, and we're not going back to those days.
Oh my goodness, this is can get very heavy stuff altogether, Ken. I'm just heard you say there that Bishop Martin. Now I should say that my understanding is that Bishop Martin isn't an ordinary bishop. He's the kind of leader of the Roman Catholic bishops in Ireland, in effect.
Well, I suppose just to technically clarify that, he's an archbishop. We have two archbishops in Ireland. He's the archbishop in Dublin. It's traditionally, as the largest population diocese, the bishop there is an archbishop. Technically, the Bishop of Down and Connor is the head. But in terms of their primary spokesperson, things, yeah, it is usually Archbishop Dermot Martin would be leading them.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say very few people would be interested in the minutiae about which is the more senior
right.
bishop, to be honest.
Yeah.
As far as I can see, Archbishop Martin, who is came from Rome, is highly sophisticated, is a major intellectual within the Roman Catholic Church. He's the leader of the no side, in my view. Whether he is formally that or not, I don't know. But when he, as you said there, backtracked and kind of has withdrawn his suggestion that perhaps there should be in his words, a conscience clause, that strikes me as being a good example of how one side has, you know, flown a kite, to use that phrase, and discovered how it has gone down and discovered that perhaps the argument isn't as solid as he thought, and is then does what you would call, from your point of view, a bit of backtracking.
I think that's a fairly accurate observation. I think, bearing in mind, actually, Archbishop Martin's speech last week, the full text of it is available on the Dublin Diocese page, and there's no mention of the conscience clause in his speech. It actually only came up in the questions and answer session afterwards. So it's not surprising that he did a clarification subsequently of what he said, because it was one that some had ran with. There will be occasions, like I would like to think it doesn't happen on our side, but there will be occasions where people want to clarify matters like that.
Well, look, Ken, I just wanted to get a chat with you on, you know, this early stage of the campaign. I expect things are going to get a bit hotter as it goes along. And thanks very much for this morning.
Thank you, Paul, as always.
Okay.